So there's this association that we tend to have that a special fund must always deliver higher returns.
It's definitely important for an investor to look and compare returns, but then that does not mean to say that a special fund must necessarily over and above perform way better.
There are many ways to define special funds.
We look at what typically, where it began, and started off with the traditional or conventional funds that were in the market, and we look at then at the asset classes. Now, what differentiates that to the special funds is where the investments are being made.
When it comes to knowing whether your money is secure in a special fund, sometimes it becomes complicated because the strategies being employed here are quite more sophisticated.
And you're working with experts here, people who have over years understood the different markets. No, you're not casting your net out, hoping to land some super return. It's actually calculated, it's thought through.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast, the show where we not only tell you but also show you what's happening to your money and what could happen. And as always, this is guided by conversations with experts of money, and happy to introduce the conversation for this week. And we are talking about chasing special returns. And what we've seen happen is as interest rates drop on other traditional assets, be it fixed deposits in banks, be it money market funds, be it fixed income funds, what we are seeing is a quest by investors themselves to seek out a higher return and incomes in special funds. To help with this conversation and help understand what exactly special funds are all about, I have Wanjiru Gichuru here, and she's the Chief Executive Officer of Pagamon Investment Bank. Ms. Wanjiru, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Make Money.
Thank you, Kefa. Thank you for having me.
And we begin with just the context I've set. Investors are now chasing quite a better return or quite an enhanced return in their case. And of course, the vehicle for that has been, to some extent, the special funds. And there are many ways to define special funds, depending on from where you see it. There are people who see it as a very unique way of investing by a particular fund manager or a particular institution. There are some, obviously, especially on the retail side, where, you know, when you see a higher return, you just think, wow, that's a special fund. If you were to define to us, what exactly are we talking about when we mention special funds?
So maybe before we even go to what a special fund is, we'll look at what typically, where it began, and start off with the traditional or conventional funds that were in the market, and we look at then at the asset classes. Now, what differentiates that to the special funds is where the investments are being made. Beyond the typical equities or fixed income, we're looking at other asset classes, and that's what typically then separates or defines what the special funds are. Over and above what the asset classes are, obviously we then look at return as a metric for the special funds. With higher return, obviously then comes the dynamic of also having higher risk, and that's what special funds really are. But that said, the investment strategies that are used with special funds usually would be different from those that are used in the traditional money market funds that we've had previously.
And if you were to speak to the strategies that delivers the usually significant higher returns on these type of funds, what exactly would you say defines that strategy? Is it more of an aggressive type of fund manager, type of money manager that takes aggressive action to deliver that high return?
You would have to be aggressive, obviously. And like I said, the main thing here is to also look at diversification to then spread out that risk that we talked about. So it's more of looking at different markets. Now you'll see that most of the special funds are not offering only locally traded asset classes. So you're also looking globally to be able to spread out that risk and be able to get higher return. So the aggression definitely would have to be there when you look at special funds.
Let's turn it and look now at the return. And Wanjiru, here to give you an example, if you had a special fund and you only paid out about 10%, I'll guarantee you this market is going to come after you and like wonder, is that actually a special fund? So there's this association that we tend to have that a special fund must always deliver higher returns. And the way I've seen people do it is sometimes they look at what's in the bond market, maybe the infrastructure bond. There's a time we had an infrastructure bond at 18%, and I remember then there was this special fund paying out around 19-20%, and people felt you're not offering much of a difference. You know, that the relative return for you to call yourself a special fund demand higher fees, or it wasn't making sense for many people that I have my risk-free, tax-free return at 18%, and I have myself a special fund that's only doing 20%. And therein lies that expectation from especially the investor community that provided it's a special fund, it has that name on it, Wanjiru would expect you to deliver me something maybe 5% above the risk-free. How should we be handling our expectations when it comes to investing in special funds?
It's definitely important for an investor to look and compare returns across the board. Fixed income, the government assets, provide a good baseline of where to start, especially because of the risk associated with them being typically lower. But then that does not mean to say that a special fund must necessarily over and above perform way better. Beyond just looking at the return, you also have to look at how secure that special fund is. That's important because you could be chasing a 30% return, but there's a lot of volatility and a lot of risk associated to that. So I think it's important to have that awareness of how market is trading, and then to also look and compare the different funds. And beyond just the return, you also look at, you know, who is behind that special fund.
There's quite some sophistication, and like you said when you're giving your definition of special funds, there's quite some sophistication in how special funds invest vis-a-vis money market funds, where you know it's a fixed deposit account, it's a treasury bill here. A fixed income fund, we know very well that's mostly treasury bonds. When it comes to knowing whether your money is secure in a special fund, sometimes it becomes complicated because the strategies being employed here are quite more sophisticated than, you know, a mere person like me, Kefa, would come and look in, and it might be a bit complicated to segregate what a typical MMF will do and what a typical special fund would do. How do you still know that this is a good special fund from these are more risky? How do you separate and take an assessment for risk when it comes to special funds?
One, we need to start with the fact that all funds are regulated by the CMA, the Capital Markets Authority, and that there are checks in terms of governance, in terms of the structuring of the product itself as a special fund. So the regulator already has come in to kind of strengthen the investor confidence. So that's one of the places to start. Now, when you go to the specific funds, you also want to look internally at, like I said, who is the institution that is offering the fund, one. Two, how is their governance structure? Because this speaks to even how those strategies are being employed. Are they being met? Are they being looked at? And that those checks that are periodically done. We also need to definitely look at the reporting of these funds, how their performance has been over time. And that, again, will inform you as an investor in terms of the risk profile that you're looking at as you go into the funds. From a fund perspective, on the other side, on the flip side, is that these funds also would need to communicate and constantly give that awareness and education to their investors in terms of how they're performing, what their underlying assets are. We are mandated actually to report to the public in terms of our performance. So as an investor, as you're looking at that, these are some of the metrics that you'd look at to understand how the different special funds lie and what would strategically work for you. Because what works for you definitely would be different for another investor, even in terms of risk.
The other question that you usually come across a lot with special funds is their separation or the segregation from hedge funds, being that hedge funds are often seen as funds that take high risks. You know, they're hedging their bets, they'll make bets on a particular asset class, but hedge it with another one so that if one fails, then one perhaps pays off. And over time, then you see those funds delivering as much as high returns as a special fund might deliver. What would you say perhaps is the difference when, you know, someone might wonder, am I in a special fund necessarily, am I in a hedge fund where this is my fund manager taking so many big risks and hoping to cover them with smaller risks? And when that doesn't work out, then there's a fear that you get to lose your money in a sense. What's the difference when it comes to special funds versus hedge funds?
Yeah, it's been quite common that the two have been linked as having been the same thing. And I would see why there are certain similarities between a hedge fund and a special fund. One, like I said, because of the diversity of the asset classes, both of them actually do offer that. And then also in terms of the risk profiling of a client, the two also offer that. But in terms of the difference, I would look at special funds as being more closely regulated, and especially in Kenya. Again, just the way they're all regulated by the CMA. You'd find that with the hedge funds, and especially the traditional ones, globally, most of them have less stringent regulations in terms of how they can invest and where they do invest. So I think that's typically what you'd see as a difference between the hedge funds and special funds currently.
In a sense here, then, the guarantee that we have a regulated product through the Capital Markets Authority, perhaps is the assurance to an investor who might worry, you might be big bettors. You know, a certain fund manager might be a big bettor. You might take risks. The bets might not always work out depending on the asset class they choose to go after. Is that then here the guarantee of CMA and that regulatory overview?
Definitely the regulatory overview gives that investor confidence like I spoke to. But even on the institution itself, you have a mandate to your investors to be able to protect and preserve the funds that they have given to you, their money. And you're working with experts here, people who have over years understood the different markets, understood the different asset classes. So it's not, you know, you're not casting your net out, hoping to land some super return. It's actually calculated, it's thought through, so that they're able to actually give you what the outlook that they have given out to you in the market.
So, Anjiru, when the Capital Markets Authority classified special funds as part of the collective investment schemes, where, of course, it's investors pulling their money and handing it to a fund manager to, you know, invest for a return, there was quite some controversy in a certain corner of the investment world where they felt no, special funds, because of the risk they pose, should never be classified in the same place as, say, money market funds, as fixed income funds. People need to understand that this is much riskier, and putting them together basically in one pot would be presenting it somewhat as almost like for like. And there's somebody who made the point, surely we shouldn't be having special funds classified in the same place as MMFs, because the risk profile is different, and sometimes investors will tend to look at them as the same. Just because they are regulated now and the reporting all happens in one place. How do you respond to someone who thinks special funds risk should be set aside, should be redefined in their own corner and let the other funds, maybe the lower risk funds, sit by themselves?
The creation of special funds has come from the evolution of the traditional funds that we had in the past. I wouldn't say they're very different. It's a growth process that has happened over the years in terms of the products that have been in the market. By that virtue, again, we go back to the investor awareness and education to understand what special funds are. I like that you said it. You know, you have to analyze the investor and critically look at what their risk profile is. That's very important when it comes to the special funds. So I wouldn't call it separation. It's to understand more how the two operate differently, and actually the fact that they kind of complement each other, but are different in terms of return. So, you know, I would say special funds is just a growth of the traditional ones.
Let's come back now to the pros of special funds and what they are. Like I said, number one and the biggest thing that an investor will always look at and you know, identify and pick out a special fund from any that type of fund is the sort of relatively higher return you're set to generate from that type of fund. Which other advantages do you see for an investor perspective who might just look at, oh, you pay annually 20%, you've averaged 19-20% over a 5-year period, while your other asset classes now, you know, you have your MMFs closer to single digit territory now. How else do you assess special funds beyond a return from an investor perspective?
Beyond return, obviously, it's the diversity of it in terms of what happens is you'll find that we may not have the channels or avenues to be able to diversify in terms of getting global access to some of the asset classes out there. But our special funds allows you to be a part of that process, to be able to then access and say, you know, I have seen that this fund is in currency, it's in a particular commodity, for instance. So it gives you that access, and I think that's one of the considerations that should be looked at. Also, in terms of the management of volatility in terms of markets, there's always a shift due to different reasons, political reasons, and et cetera. Economic turbulence can change over time in different markets. So it's also important that special funds offer you that kind of solid foundation to be able to know that your investment is secured at any one time, just by virtue of that diversity that I've spoken to.
So let's take a look at where special funds sit within the ecosystem or within the universe of collective investment funds. And where we see them is around a fifth of assets under management, or the value of all investments in these types of funds, sitting just behind the money market funds, which of course have the lion's share of the market at around 60%. Then we have fixed income funds, which are always jostling and fighting each other on who takes that second place. When we look at the factors that have helped drive beyond, of course, the return that we did speak about, what other interventions might you say, or which other factors have driven us to a point where, you know, special funds came along not so long ago and now they are well past balanced funds and equity funds and basically, you know, fighting to take second place behind just MMFs? What explains that growth and that quick dominance of special funds as an asset class?
Return definitely does or has impacted in terms of the growth of the special funds in the last few years. Beyond that, it's, you know, I've spoken to the investor awareness and education, because it's very important. Once you understand where you're putting your money, then you are more likely to do it. So we've seen a lot of the market participants who are running these special funds push to educate the investors on how they're running the special funds. So that again has catapulted in terms of the AUMs growing over the time. So I do expect that we'll see growth. I think right now we're sitting at about 162 billion in terms of the special fund allocation, and we're expected to then see that continue grow. A lot of funds have come. Again, when we go back to the regulator, in terms of support for the entities that are coming into the market, they have been very supportive in terms of working with the different fund managers who are coming on board.
So at 162.4 billion shillings, that's for the quarter ended December 2025, there's quite the room to run for these funds before, you know, before you claim dominance over, say, MMFs, which are still almost three quarters of the entire collective investment scheme. What's your outlook if you look 1 year out, 2 years out, 3 years out, let's say the medium term? What's the expectation in what special funds might become for investors from a collective investing point of view?
I definitely see there being growth there. We're also seeing interest not only from the local market, but also from the foreign market. So in terms of the special funds that we currently have offered in Kenya, there's definitely going to be growth. I do see us going even to the trillion mark and probably surpass that.
Wanjiru Gichuru, the Chief Executive Officer of Pagamon Investment Bank, and happy to have you on the podcast. And you also do make some writings. You know, you do write some columns, and we've read some of that on the Business Daily. Hopefully we get to be seeing more of you sharing your perspective on what's happening to the industry.
Definitely. You'll see more coming from me, and thank you again for having us. I did enjoy my time here.
And that has been another episode of Make Money, the podcast by the Business Daily. My name is Kefa Moirore, and until I catch you on the next episode, remember to make your money work for you. Goodbye.